I want to speak to you this morning a message called The Vision Mandate. And I'm going to pray like Donnie Moore prayed. Lord, help! And I receive it today in Jesus' name. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, if you looked at this from different translations, you would see the NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom instruction. The ESV says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law or the word of God. And then finally, the NLT says, when people do not accept divine guidance, I like this, they run wild. They perish. They go through life aimlessly. Now, this perishing isn't an overnight thing, but over the course of time, if people don't have any restraints, if they don't have any boundaries, if they don't have any divine guidance, their lives just go wild. And people cannot stay on that track very long before it inevitably will end in destruction. We could say a slow perishing. But that's not you. And that's not us. We have a great hope from the God of hope. And he is filling us with all joy and peace as we believe him. And we are bubbling over with the God kind of hope in our hearts. Amen? So what is vision? Well, the word vision in Hebrew means to see. One person describes vision as a picture of the future that produces passion. Dr. Cho said, if you will show me your vision, I will show you your future. And so a clear revelation from God will guide you toward his purpose for your life. You will not live an aimless life, but you will be happy and blessed and joyful and stable as you follow the prophetic revelation, God's mandate for your life. Now, a mandate simply is this, a clear direction, an instruction, or a charge to act. A mandate is an official assignment. It is a command. It is a responsibility that has been given to someone to carry out. It is something that can be imparted to you. It's something that can be downloaded in you. And it will empower you to live out his purpose for your life. A vision mandate is more than information. It's more than idea. It is based on revelation. It is based on a conviction. It is based on a passion, and it gives you faith and great grace to accomplish it. We can only do, we can only have, we can only be what we are by the grace of God. Now, one thing that is vital for all of us to know, this is so important, we can locate his vision, his mandate for our life by, first of all, realizing his general will first. You see, God has a general will. The general will of God is revealed in the Word of God. It's where you see that the will of God is for you to be saved. The will of God is for you to be healed. The will of God is for you to serve. The will of God for you is to be a disciple, one taught of the Lord. The will of God is you to be empowered by the Holy Ghost to live in this world as more than a conqueror. It is the will of God. It is the plan of God. Everything you see in God's word is his will for your life. And so God's mandate will always align itself with Scripture. That's why it's so vital that we renew our minds with the word of God. Because his vision, his mandate for your life will always agree with his nature, with his word, and with his mission. Now listen very carefully. Before vision and mandate can be settled in our lives, we must first of all know who we are in Christ. We must know what he's already said to us in the Bible. And has he not said a lot of glorious things about who you are in Christ? That you are in fact a new creation. That you are in fact the righteousness of God. That you are in fact complete in him. So as you establish who you are in Christ, it gives you great confidence. It gives you a blessed assurance. And it will give you a holy boldness. Because I am in Christ, I can do all things through Christ. Without him, we can do nothing, but thank God we are not without him. We are born of God. Amen. Oh, I love it. Because you are in Christ, you can do all things through Christ. I can and I will do all things for the glory of God. I can and I will accomplish all that the Lord has downloaded in my spirit. How about you? And so there is the revealed will, and then there is the specific will. We must not ignore Scripture. Because if we do, we will not hear specifics. But oh, thank God, when we're doers of the Word of God, the revealed will of God, it will position you to receive His specific assignment for your life. And God's got a great assignment for you. God's got a great life for you. Now, maybe you have not discovered it yet, but it's time. It's your time. It's your season to discover His perfect plan and His perfect will for your life. Amen. You see, God wants to enlarge our hearts. We talked about an enlarged heart. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, he says this. Dear Corinthians, we could say it this way. Dear Bay Areaites, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter into this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. How many of you know God's not the fenced in kind of guy? He says the smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Paul loved the church at Corinth. He says, open your lives. Live openly. Live expansively. The King James Version says, be enlarged. And so what I got in my heart as I was thinking about this the other day, we need to make room for him to give us his assignments. We need to make room down here in our hearts. And this came to me. Sometimes that means moving other things out. Smile. It's a good word. It's a God word. God will never tell you to move things out if he didn't have some things he wants to move in. So all these things of this life, the distractions of this age, we need to learn to lay aside every weight. And those things which hinder us in the race that God has given us. You got mountain moving faith. You can move those trivial pursuits out of your life. If you only would. See, God wants to enlarge our hearts so he can give us large assignments. Large assignments. But be very, very cautious of this. You need to be faithful in the assignment that he's already given you. Amen. Because he that is faithful in little can also be faithful also in much. A faithful man will not decrease. A faithful man will increase. A faithful man will abound with the blessings of God. And part of the blessings of God on your life is an increase of grace, an increase of strength, an increase of anointing, an increase of clarity, an increase of spirituality. God wants you to abound. Hallelujah. But be faithful where you are now. Be faithful what he's given you. And there is nothing little in God's sight. When God gives you something to do, do it with all of your might. So we need to ask ourselves the question from time to time, have I been faithful? And if we have not, there's time yet to be faithful. You see, Moses was given a large assignment, was he not? I mean, he had an encounter with the presence of God. God shows up in a burning bush while Moses is on the backside of the desert. And God reveals to him what he wants done concerning the children of Israel. And as we pick it up in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down, whoo, glory, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, a large land that flows with milk and honey. In verse 9, he says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And he says to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee. This is his assignment. But notice his assignment began with an encounter. It began to experience the presence of God. Oftentimes, we will not receive a divine assignment unless we've been in his divine presence. Moses said, he says, come now, I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? He had an identity crisis. That I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. In verse 12, he said, and certainly, I'm going to be with you. Does that sound familiar? God gives you an instruction. I can say, certainly, he's for you. Certainly, he's with you. And certainly, he's on the inside of you to enable you to deliver and do what he's called you to do. Amen. Certainly, I'm going to be with you. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the Lord upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I'm coming to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And here's what God said. And God said to Moses. And God said to Mark. And God said to PT. And God said to PC. And God said to Mike. And God said to Andre. Woo! I am that I am. I am that I am. He am that he am. What more do we need? Moses didn't need anything more. He used to tell him, I am that I am. And you'll say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now get this sequence. Number one, God revealed himself. Number two, he revealed Israel's bondage. Number three, God revealed the assignment. And then God promised his presence. Are you glad for the presence of the Lord? Now I do not know everything about vision, but I know some things about vision. I don't believe that anybody knows everything about vision. But I'm so thankful for what I do know. And here's one main thing that I know. That vision, that mandates, that assignments are born in the place of intimacy. Say this with me. Vision is born in a place of intimacy. In a place of drawing near. I believe this with all my heart. Before God can really reveal to you his assignment, his mandate, his vision for your life, he first invites you to intimacy with him. Why is that? Because vision flows from intimacy. Now last week, by the Spirit of the living God, we started talking about insight. Everyone say insight. And here's what vision does. Vision opens the door then to divine insight. Intimacy opens that door to divine insight. Because when you come close to Him, He comes close to you. When you draw near to Him with all your heart, He draws near to you with open arms and says, "Son, daughter, all that I have is yours. Let me download my vision and give you insight for your life." How many of you are interested in insight? So vision then, it begins on the inside. Begins on the inside. And I think a simple definition for insight would be sight on the inside. Everyone say, "I desire sight on the inside." That's where it begins. You see, our spiritual eyes. How many of you know you've got natural eyes? Can you see me? Somebody says, "I can see, but not too good." Well, be healed in Jesus' name. But you have natural eyes, and you also have spiritual eyes. Amen. And you see, our spiritual eyes can be trained inwardly to perceive His purposes. A couple of scriptures. Psalm 119, 108 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things." Yeah. Open my eyes. You see, Jesse Duplantis said this, "Vision must be seen through all the clutter that is around us." There's a lot of clutter out there. And if we're not careful, the clutter will take our eyes off of Him. But I believe that God can give us such keen spiritual eyes that we have the ability to press through the clutter when it comes our way.
Amen.
How many of you have experienced clutter trying to stop your vision?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Thank God. We have the mind of Christ. And thank God He gives us eyes to see. And thank God He gives us ear to hear. You know, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, your eyes are going to be open. And you're going to be able to see some things you've never seen before. And you're going to be able to see some things that you have seen with greater clarity.
Hallelujah. Yes.
The eyes of our understanding being enlightened.
Yeah.
In verse 17, it drops down and says this, that we may know, that we may know, that we may know, that we may know the hope of what He's called us to do.
Amen.
So when your eyes are open, He's going to give you insight. He's going to reveal to you the hope of the call of God upon your life. Did you know that you are called?
Yes.
And I believe with all of my heart that the callings of God are calling out to His people now in a greater way than He ever has before. Say with me, the callings of God are calling out to me. There's a call to prayer.
Yes.
There's a call to intercession.
Yes.
There's a call to weep before the Lord. There's a call for His people to pray fervently in these last days. We do not just have prayer on Thursday at 12 noon just to check a box. We have prayer because we are on assignment. That is one of the greatest mandates that God has given this local church, is to be not only a word church and a Holy Ghost church, but also a church of prayer.
Amen.
He said that my house is going to be called a house of prayer. And when his house is a house of prayer, he's a God answering prayer. And he answers with salvations. He answers with miracles. He answers with healings. He answers with provision. The callings of God are calling you to lift up your voice. There is a call on all of us as priests unto God to live a holy life. There's a call on each and every life in this house to be more like Jesus every day. The callings of God are calling you out from among that so that you can be separate. So that I can be a father unto you and do what a good, good father does for his sons and daughters. There's a call. There's a call. There's a call. There's a call to witness. There's a call to witness. Listen, friend, there's a call to tell your story.
Yes. Amen.
You have a story.
Yes.
You have a testimony. You have a story. And there are people outside of these walls that are hungry to hear about Jesus. Why? Because they're hemmed in by the spirit of this world. Say with me, the callings of God are calling me. There's a call on many of you here in this house to make money.
Yes, come on, that's right. Amen.
The Bible says we are kings and priests unto our God. What a king does, a king excels in the business world so that they can take what they make and bring that into the house of God.
Amen.
I thought I'd get a better amen than that. There's a call of God on your life. To be a greater blessing than you've ever been before. There's a call on business people. There's a call on businesses. The callings of God. They're calling me. They're calling you.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you listening? Are you taking heed to what the Spirit is saying?
Amen. Amen.
And the Spirit is always talking. He's always saying something.
Yes, he is.
Woo, glory to God. Let's just lift our hands and thank it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Insight. Sight on the inside. Does not come haphazardly. It does not come with a partial commitment. It comes to wholehearted believers. And I believe today that I'm looking at a congregation of wholehearted believers that are not partially in. He didn't bring you out of darkness into the kingdom for you to be partially in. He brought you into the kingdom to be all in. All in. Say with me, I'm all in. I'm all in, I'm all in, I'm all in. Woo, glory to God. So here it is. When we draw close to God, He begins to reveal things to us. God shows things to those who come close. The book of Psalms in 25 and verse 14. The King James says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him." But I like how the Amplified says it. Would you read it with me? Ready, read. "The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord." Stop right there. The sweet what? Companionship of the Lord. That has to do with fellowship. Have they who fear, revere, and worship Him. And as a result, He will unveil, He will show His covenant and reveal to you its deep inner meaning. Oh my. Secrets are not given to strangers. but they're given to friends. So I encourage you to pray much in the Spirit. That's one way of drawing near. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, it says this, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men." Now notice the rest. "For no man understandeth him. However, in the Spirit," what is he speaking?
Mysteries.
He's speaking mysteries. When you pray in the Spirit about the callings of God that are calling you, when you pray in the Spirit about His mandate for your life, the Bible says you are speaking mysteries. Now, I understand this, that the word mysteries, it's a very interesting word. The word mysteries in the Greek is mysterion. Mysterion. And what it literally means is divine secrets. When you're speaking to Him in tongues, you're speaking divine secrets. You are speaking hidden truths that are known by God. You are speaking things beyond your human understanding. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what those mysteries are. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what those divine secrets are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, are y'all still here? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Now, if you stop there, you could be discouraged. You know, you could say, well, eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it. He's prepared things, but it's a mystery. It's something that hasn't been revealed. Now, you got to go on to the next verse. The next verse says, "But God..." Everyone say it real loud. "But God." What has God done? "God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Believe that. Believe that God will reveal to you what needs to be revealed to you by His Spirit. And then he goes on to say, "For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Did you wear your shouting clothes this morning? Now let's read this next verse boldly. Ready, read. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants you to know some things. Call unto me. Call unto me. And I will answer thee. And I will show thee great, great and glorious things which you have not known heretofore. There are some things that God wants to show, but in order for us to see it, we got to call upon Him. Call upon. This is call upon Him right now. Glory to God. Lift up your hands and say, "Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I call upon your name this morning. I call upon the name which is above every name. And I trust that you are answering me. You are showing me great and mighty things. Those things that have been fenced in. Those things that have been hidden are being revealed. And they're being unveiled to me right now." And it's okay if you want to do this. Let's everyone just pray in the Spirit or pray in English for about 30 seconds. Glory to God. Go ahead. Oh, rabakastea. Omrikiselemrande. Oh, rebakasite engle kasonoma. Oh, brikiselemene. Apalonde, apalonde, apalonde. Open, Lord. Open, open, Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes that we may see. Oh, rike sema nine. Lord, we pray not thy, not my will, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy perfect will be done in our lives. Oh, the plan of God, the purposes of God. Oh, remasandai, your assignments, your assignments, your assignments. And I will anoint you with fresh oil. I will enable you to fulfill by my Spirit and by my grace all that I've called you to do. And it shall not be a dry season in days ahead, but it shall be a season of refreshing. It shall be a season where my Spirit attends your way and shows you great and mighty things. There shall be fresh oil. There shall be a greater anointing upon you than you've ever experienced. It's as if David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Raise both your hands right now and say,
I shall
be anointed. Oh, with fresh oil. Ooh, glory to God. Fresh oil. Oil for this season. Oil for this season. Oil for this season. There shall not be a shortage of oil in the house of the Lord. Where in the natural realm, from time to time, there's a battle over oil. But there is no battle here, says the Lord, for the battle has already been won.
Amen.
And heaven has a fresh anointing for you. The dew of heaven shall fall upon our thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall upon our thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Precious Holy Spirit, come in. Take control. Take control. Take control. Put your hands over your heart like this. And say, let the dew of heaven. Oh, let it fall afresh. Fall afresh on me.